Travers Cosgrove Reel 4. So the maritime gunners were, they were sort of permanently on their liberty ship, were they?
Yes.
Were,
yes.
As a,
yes.
As a guard.
As a, well, to defend it from air or submarine or even floating, you know, destroyers perhaps. But
so they gave you hospitality. They, what was that like?
Well.
What did they give you?
A bunk, and played bridge. whoever the rank of the fellow who was commander, he wasn't commissioned, but he was a bridge player. So and well, we were happy enough to play bridge. What else was there to do?
Yeah. So where did these maritime gunners come from? Had they been specially formed to?
They had been. Yes, we didn't really know about these people. I had read about them, but they were formed to protect, to give some sort of protection to merchant ships.
Mm. And they come from different regiments, had they? To
I guess
or
so.
The Navy or?
Well, they may have been gunners. Mm.
They were army, were they?
Yes, they were army.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay. So, 3 anxious days. Were you getting worked up sitting there, or, you know, waiting to go over the top, really?
Well, no, we weren't getting worked up because it was calm. And then that evening we slipped anchor and went through the Straits of Dover in darkness. And in the morning we were off Normandy.
So what could you see as dawn came up? You see the coast.
You see the coast. We waited there a bit. As we went out of London docks, we saw strange concrete caissons, floating caissons, being built or being finished. And of course, these were Normandy, the Mulberry Harbour.
Had you heard about
them? No.
It was all secret.
It was all secret. Because we knew that there was, and indeed it was used, a prefabricated military harbour, steel, thing, and that was the first one to be built. But that would. It was a very expensive thing, had to need very favourable conditions. But it would have been impracticable to build it to the scale that was needed for the Mulberry Harbour. So we first of all we did see this military pier, and then the Mulberry Harbour taking shape further westwards, just hundreds of yards, but that sort of thing from it. And then a landing craft, you saw them going to and fro, and then they came to us. Now, we weren't the first to be off. I suppose we were first on, so we were last off. I forget this. Anyway, our turn came late in the day, and actually, we and our vehicles were loaded over the side onto this American landing craft. By that time, it was getting dusk, and the men of the crew were probably pretty tired. And they said, well, we're staying here alongside tonight. So we spent the night sleeping in our vehicles, I suppose. We went up and had an American meal, the bacon and the rings of pineapple in the same dish, which we're used to now, but we weren't used to then. The officer in charge on this, he recognized I was an officer and just nodded his head to me, but that was all.
So there was a greater equality now that you were actually going into action in a sense in your conditions.
Well, you had to live in the same vehicle.
Because before, I mean, you'd always obviously been
you had an officer's
quarters and mess and so on.
Yes,
and so forth.
Yes. But
all of a sudden,
but
you were with the men much
more. Well, only on very few occasions throughout the battle did we have an officer's mess. We officers were living with our platoons. Now headquarters would have had, right, they would have had four or five officers there, but and some sort of mess. But we platoon commanders did not join. We would have gone up for orders and report things and that, but we weren't members of the mess. I remember in the Ardennes, we were in a village and they had an ideal place and we went to join them there, but it wasn't just because it was a village, it was I'm not sure that we actually slept there, but we did eat there. That was one of the very, very few occasions that we had an officer's mess during the campaign. So we were living with our platoons.
So, back on the landing craft, had your American breakfast?
Dinner, whatever it was. Then at first light, which must have been pretty early, we went further inshore and stopped. Lowered the ramp in front, and we went off, and there was no hitches. We all got down. We were waterproof. We drove through the sea.
What vehicles were you in?
The chief vehicle was a 3-ton lorry. In addition to that, I and what was known as the Ricky group were in half-tracked armoured cars for reconnaissance purposes. And then there were a couple of 1,500 weight vehicles, or there was another 3-ton of the stores vehicle that had a winch on it. Our half tracks had a winch on the front as well. And there would be a 1,500 weight wagon and a compressor, air compressor.
That was on platoon motorized. So driving onto the beach, what did you see all around you?
Sand. You know,
lots of people landing,
craft landing, and there was only one or two exits, and you would gradually get up to this exit and they would sort of form you up on the beach so that you were as much a unit as possible, and then you would be led up to the exit. There would be lots of sappers there keeping those tracks in use, because we were, you know, there was heavy usage, but the way up from the beach was probably concrete, probably, you know, French.
Where was it you actually landed?
What's the middle one?
Not Aramorsch.
Aramorsch.
Yes, Aramorsch, yeah, right. So as you came off the beach, where did you go then?
Well, then you were told to follow your divisional signs.
All right, they had road signs up in the tree.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we had been using that for all our exercises and movement. You knew the green and red W was your sign, and you followed that, and then you would find a blue one, which was a sapo. Upper one, and you would follow that, and you just kept on following it, and then you find a hole in the fence, and someone on her face you knew, waiting. The advance party had gone on ahead to be ready for us. I don't know, have no idea about their life, but they were there.
Yeah. So what state was the countryside and the villages and the town of Aramorsh in, as you...
Well, you are surprised to find it... much better than it might have been. All right. Yes, the immediate front may have been blasted, but you were surprised once you got past that to find how normal it was, rather than anything else. That was normality, countryside, stiff with troops, no, that was not you weren't going on the moon. No, it was surprising.
A bit of a relief then.
Yes.
I suppose that everyone before they went might have had a feeling of the First World War, you know, yes.
No. Quite surprising. Yes, the pillboxes, they'd been blasted. But once you were through that, you were surprised how.
Did you see many French civilians? Did you have any contact with them, when you first got there? Or?
No.
No, right.
They may have been around in the town, but no, it was a long time before we saw French civilians.
Right. So the whole place seemed to be peopled by Allied military,
as
it were.
Yes.
Do you remember where you spent your first night?
Well, I don't know where it was now. Yes.
Right.
And the next day we moved up. Another 5 miles further south. And I don't remember where that was, but probably the day after we went much closer to the front line, and we were to operate a watering point. And there was a civilian water tower, like you might want one just not very far over there, a water tower. And we had to get that operating. And we did. And it ran for months. Yeah.
So that was your first actual job?
I'm sure that we would have had other mine clearing on the way and all this sort of thing. But it was done for the division. I think we were filling in an area that was rather loosely held.
Mm-hmm. What did you hear of the battle at that stage?
Distant rumbling. Aircraft overhead. Mm. No. We. It was distant rumbling. Mm.
Did you hear anything from people who'd been there longer?
The first thing we heard was, for Christ's sake, get your pips blacked out, because snipers will pick out officers. Do up your battle dress. Black out your pips.
So you were meeting up with people who'd been there for how long?
Oh, well, the word would have got it down back anyway. The advance party probably had been there and got there before the storm, so they will have been waiting for us for those 3 days extra.
Yes, yeah.
So they will have, absorbed some more local colour than we could have done. Mm. But I don't think we met people from other units.
So where did you go from there?
Well, we were in that vicinity for, it was 100 days, wasn't it, before we broke out. But basically, we weren't very far away. The first interesting job was to build a Bailey Bridge at a ford over the Orne to the upstream of Caen, which would be to the west of it, and near the airfield of Carpiquet, which was a very debatable You know, that was a scene of conflict. One couldn't advance over an airfield without being an obvious target. So one went round the edge, and how the enemy lived on the other edge, we didn't know.
Had you seen any Germans by then?
No, we heard plenty of stories of snipers. They left as they retreated. They left snipers behind, and they made life difficult for us.
So that was a constant thing you were watching, even behind your own eyes,
yes,
as it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So
what about this bridge over the ford then?
Well, yes, there was a. It wasn't a military operation. Really, it was. We were concerned that making a noise would draw fire. It did, but it wasn't an intense military. It wasn't done. We occupied both sides of the river. It wasn't a battle. I don't think, like many of the later ones were.
So you accomplished that fairly.
Yes, fairly readily. It was an interesting technical problem in that there were two spans, and they met on an island or a rock, and the span's length demanded that they weren't. You couldn't be put together. We had to devise a short piece of bridge to go in there, for which there was no actual equipment available. So it had a little technical problem with us.
How many people were working on this?
Well, two platoons.
Yeah, yes. Who was the other platoon commander? Do you remember?
No.
No.
probably Dick Brown of 3 Platoon. And the commander of the bridge was Bruno Elgood, who had been the advance party leader.
So you accomplished that?
That was accomplished. And we went back to... Then our next job was really to work on the tank route. This was a road from the beachhead right up to the front line, where tanks could be brought up out of view of the enemy and off the hard roads. So I don't know whether it was called ship route or whatever it was called, but this route had to be built. And we got involved in one last bit, which was again near the River Orne. It ran down a valley towards the Orne, and we were involved in giving comfort and direction to bulldozing this route and doing any small stream crossings and that sort of thing.
So where did the bulldozers come from?
We didn't have one. The division had a small bulldozer, but this task would be much beyond it. We would have had to get army or corps engineers to help us with that. And it would be about this time that we had a case of, we had to put the battalion headquarters into a hole in the chalk. And it was the enemy. It took us much longer than we anticipated. It was really hard chalk. That didn't please the second in command of the Oxford and Bucks. But it was really hard work to get the camouflage down and chuck out and then put some bulldozing in. So actually, they settled to get rid of us and to get rid of the bulldozer and the noise it made. They settled for a just as long as their heads were below ground, they didn't mind the top of the vehicle getting hit.
Was it camouflaged or?
No.
It's sitting in its hole.
Well, it might have put a net. Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes, of course. It put a net over it, but that was all.
And that was divisional command.
That was no regiment. Just a regiment.
Regiment.
Regiment. Ochsenbucks.
Right.
And they were part of our brigade, and I was actually worked with them nearly all the time.
So they got their HQ settled.
They got their HQ settled. Yes. This was all, a battle was raging at the battalion was at the moment involved in a battle on the front line. So, you know, the headquarters did matter.
Mm, yes. Yeah. So how'd they manage before? They just had it?
Well, it had been above ground.
Yeah.
And, but I suppose they'd been sussed out by enemy. Wireless location.
How were you living at the time? Were you sleeping in your vehicles?
We would dig a little slit trench to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
It was dry ground, and we would
nice weather.
We would dig little slit trenches and sleep close to our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you would erect a sort of scrim netting and that sort of thing to, well, confuse what anybody might fly over.
So did you stay in one place for very long?
No, but we might be there for 4 or 5 days. We moved slowly, very slowly, forwards. We tried hard to capture a hill which other divisions had tried to capture beforehand, but we never did until we broke out further west. And then we got round behind. There were two villages on the river or upstream called Evreux and Evrissi. And a feature of this was that the south slope of the riverbank was very steep and the north slope was very gentle, but it rose to quite a significant height. So there was this obstruction, high ground between our little valley and where the Germans were on the river in Evreux and Evrissi. But if they went a few hundred yards up the hill from their village, they had a wonderful view of this high ground. And while we got down into those villages several times, they obliterated us. And we couldn't hold them until we got round to the right on the right flank. So we spent a lot of time in that vicinity, and it was our tank route came round quite close on our side, so that eventually they could get tanks up onto this ground.
What sort of, can you tell me briefly about the communications, how you got your sort of communications and briefings or...
Yeah, first of all, each platoon had its wireless communication with company headquarters. And this worked perfectly well. You might find that you were... You had to move a little bit so that you could get communication. And the company, obviously, we had to choose their location. Particularly because they also had to communicate with division.
Yes.
HQRE. That was how orders came. But, of course, that was supplemented by the OC himself coming to see you, or you being called to see him. And then there would be the occasional O group when you'd all gather. That was how, but a lot of it was over the air.
So, say, if you were not actually on as a particular specific job, I mean, would you get a sort of an instruction for the morning, or would you just stay where you were till you got one? Or
road repair was a constant job. So
you took the initiative on that,
yes,
did you? Yeah,
yes.
Right. So that was your sort of main job.
Yes.
You were told to do something else.
Yes. Yes. We, of course, every now and again we got accidents or contact with the enemy, which resulted in casualties.
What sort of accidents were there?
Well, blowing things up when they go up, they come down. And if a fellow isn't wearing his steel helmet, he might.
Can you remember one of the platoon that actually got hurt that way? Was he badly hurt?
I mean, he was killed.
Mm. Was he the first one you lost?
Yes.
Did that have a big effect on you and Ryan?
Yes and no. Yes, of course, it did, but it was forgotten in the course of the various tasks you had to do. If you'd been staying there kicking your heels, you had far more to get on with.
In the case of that happening, what did you have to do as the officer? What was the procedure? Did you have
nothing?
To, nothing. Right. You just reported it. Mm. You reported to HQ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. He was a casualty.
Mm. And what an ambulance that came and collected him, were they, some stage?
I don't remember.
Mm. Right.
Presumably, yes.
Yeah. What other sorts of accidents?
Well, accidents were. Most of them were a result of enemy fire. Occasionally, an officer trying to get out and make a reconnaissance of a bridge would find that he was the object of the enemy's attention, and that killed one of my brother officers.
Do you remember his name?
Donald Harvey. He was put up for the. He was recommended for a VC, but didn't get it. The enemy tanks were between him and the objective, and they managed to knock out a few of them, but eventually they got him. Then, I suppose, really, we did succeed in our right flank in moving forward. And we got to Falaise.
Mm.